today. We do have the news confirmed. It looks like the team is going to announce what we already knew was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So basically over the course of the last couple of weeks, it was the team was going to do an investigation. They were going to look back and re-examine the team name. Shefty's been reporting that repeatedly. We now know that they're going to announce today, not a new team name, but that they will be changing their name. So let's get a little perspective on this and hop right over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where ESPN NFL Nation Redskins reporter John Keim joins us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Penzo synthetic motor oils made from natural gas gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Penzo oil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. I just said the name. I'm trying not to. It's a hard habit for me to break. I'll be honest. Like, I'm trying to say Washington
it's
football.
It's like the teams
team,
that moved from, you know, the San Diego Chargers. You know, like how many times you call them the San Diego Chargers instead of LA Chargers. Just, it's ingrained in you to say those names. It's difficult.
And I do, for anyone that I've been tweeted on that a few times, I'm trying to break the habit. Yeah. I'll do better. John Keim joins us. John, I appreciate your time joining us. What's the latest on the name change?
Well, exactly like what you guys know, which is that we should be told this morning officially that they're going to change the name. And like you said, I mean, Adam has reported that. I have said the same things. Others have as well, that he knew this was going to happen. They just hadn't officially said it. And I had been told a couple of days ago that they felt like the name would be announced within very soon, I was told. What that timetable is, still don't know. But right now, they're just going to say that they're going to change it. And I know Sports Business Daily reported that there's some sort of trademark holdup or pending right now. You're not going to get a trademark for the name right now, but I think there's some other conflicts. So that might be holding up the next level, the next stage of the announcement. But if I had to guess, I believe that they probably do have a name picked out. I don't know that for 100% certain, but you know, so I don't think it'll be a long process before we get to the next step.
So, John, if it's not going to be a long process before the next step, and we think we have most of those things in play, why are they making an announcement about anything today?
That's a good question. I think just to be official, that because even though we've been reporting it, they haven't said it. And again, I think if there is a trademark conflict or some sort of issue that's pending that's kind of holding up the first step of it, that could be the reason as well. So I think that could be the case.
As far as the new name, was it a one-man show with Daniel Snyder, or did he have some people he was leaning on for this? Who was involved?
There are some people around him, some people close to him, somebody that works for Snyder Enterprises, a CEO from him, and then the marketing end here with Washington. Ron Rivera was brought in. Dan Snyder had already been talking to the league office about this, and then he brought Rivera in as well. So it's not a huge group. I don't know all the work. I don't know all that they've done. I know in the past, when I did a big story on this a couple of days ago, where, you know, this whole process, and one of the people I talked to was Floyd Reese, when he was with the Oilers when they changed to the Titans. Clearly not the same level of controversy or anything like that, but he said that at that time that the league kind of had names that they already had that they liked on file in case there's a new team or whatever it was. And so that's how they got to the Titans. The league was okay with it. So I just think, I wonder if in talking to the league, if there are a handful of names that they already had in mind and that the league could help them say, yeah, this is good, or this is we approve of or not. So I think that would definitely be a part of it as well.
John Keim with us, our ESPN NFL Nation reporter for Team Unknown at this point on Golic and Wingo. John, is there any update on what we had heard last week about some of the Washington minority owners looking at selling their stake of the team, just, you know, not pleased any longer with the partnership with Dan Snyder? Is there any update on the intentions there from that group?
No update. Exactly, pretty much what you said, that they, you know, they want to, all three of them, it's Fred Smith, CEO of FedEx, which made that whole statement from them interesting, and then Dwight Schar, Bob Rothman. Nobody has come out and said they're not doing it. Nobody has denied it. So there is no update. And I think this whole process, that process, I would think would take a while given the money involved. So, but yeah, there's no update there. Again, I think a key thing is nobody has come out and said it's not happening.
John, you said earlier that there's some expectation that they'll have a name quickly for whatever their new name is. So is there any sense that you've been able to gather yet on when that name will go into play? Like, can they get new branding, jerseys, merch, all of that printed in time for this season? Should we have one?
I think that would be awfully, awfully difficult. I could see a situation where you have the name and you just have some sort of either a generic logo or something, a placeholder. And because like this whole process, when you talk to people about who have done this in the past, just getting a logo completed and all that could take, 8 months to a year. So, because like usually this is not the usual way that you're changing a name. This is a fire aim ready situation. And it came about because of society, the social unrest and then sponsor pressure, et cetera. And so it's not the usual way. So keep in mind, like when you change a name like this, you're changing everything. You're changing letterhead. You're changing, the merchandise of your stores. You're changing signage. And, when after the Bullets changed to the Wizards, I was talking to somebody who was in their front office at the time. And he's like, you wouldn't believe like the tentacles that this name has in your building. You don't even stop to think about it until you have to go through and change everything. So I think to do everything like that would be awfully difficult. And I would also say you're replacing whatever anybody thinks about the name. It was there. They were, I guess, an iconic franchise. So you better make sure that your branding is going to be up to par to get you to that next step. You can't just throw out something and then be okay with it unless they already had some designs and names in mind. And the reason I say that is because back when Dan Snyder first bought the team, he also purchased the expansion rights to an arena football league if they came to Washington. He was going to name them the Warriors, and I do believe he had some logos drawn up for them. So it's conceivable that if it goes in that direction, then you've already been down this road with some of those things, that you already have things that you like. So if it goes faster, I think it's because of that. If it's a different name, then I could see it taking longer because I just think it's going to be hard to go through all the hoops that you have to go through with getting a trademark, with getting all these things completed in time for the season. So, but I was told other people, like, they're keeping the colors the same. That's what I was told last week. The plan as of now is to keep the colors the same. And so if you do that, that removes a little thing. But even on the jerseys, the name Redskins is right underneath the neck. Is that just easy to pull off? If so, then you can keep the jerseys the same right now. You don't need the new uniform. So, it's little things like that. But there's a lot of things that would have to be done.
John, thanks so much for your time and your reporting on this. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
So I agree with him. If you're not going to be able to get a new team name, or you can get the name but not the logos, you pull off the decal on the helmet, right, and you take the Redskins off right under the V. I mean, that's all there is as far as the uniform is concerned that shows either that logo or the name, correct? Because they said they want to keep the colors, and then you go down that road until you can get it put on, put on your uniform. It seems pretty easy to do that.
Yep, that stuff all seems pretty easy. I will continue to question the timing of this announcement today because based on tweets that we are seeing from folks locally in Washington, it sounds like there are rumblings of more news potentially coming out around that football team. Nothing that ESPN is reporting or anything like that, but you can go online and see plenty of tweets indicating that there might be something else. So the timing of this looks curious from the outside.
Keep your ear to the ground on that one. And then really quickly from the other side of it, if you have money, which we don't, would it be good to 40% of the Redskins, I'm still saying, of Washington is up for sale. This is a league that has been making $15 billion a year and has been profitable to teams. Is this a time for people to buy? You're going to be a whole new team, Washington, whatever they're going to be, a whole new thing coming in into a league that's very successful from the money standpoint. I wonder, and I don't know that. We'd have to ask some sort of business person this, but would this be a good time if you're a person, 40% is up for sale, to jump in and be part owner of a team? I know there's issues with Daniel Snyder, and we don't know what, if there is at all, as you said, Mike, on Twitter, something else coming out today. But the NFL has been a profitable business.
And a difficult business to get into. If you can buy into the NFL, you always buy into the NFL. And what we've seen is that oftentimes the next majority owner comes from minority ownership previously. Look at David Tepper as a great example of that. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Mike.
We put a medical advisory group together in early April with the question of what do we have to do to get back to activity, and they've been a big part of the conversation.
Greg Sankey said just because they made this decision doesn't mean we don't feel like we could still maybe play our full slated schedule. That's not off the table yet.
If we can't play, it will hurt our athletic programs, but our athletic programs will go forward.
I really am curious to see what they decide and if they think they can still pull off a 12-game season.
Let's go look at Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz in for Trey, sitting with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr., as you just heard, on Friday, let's just be real, Jr. and I were in a dark place because we didn't feel good about whether or not we were going to get college football. I mean, I think the plants in here were starting to wilt a little bit from our negative energy. I'm not sure the weekend helped that much, but there's a lot of reasons in this room that we're looking forward to college football.
I really hope there's college football. as everybody has seen, there was an announcement last week. I will no longer be doing radio for ESPN come July 31st. It'll be the last show. Started way back with Tony Bruno in 1998 with the first national morning show on ESPN. Then with Greeny for obviously a ton of years, and then with Trey Wingo and Mike here for the last 3 years. So that 22-year run ends July 31st. And I'm under contract until the end of the year. And again, as I said the other day, I would have loved to have keep going. This is kind of like when I got, you know, cut from the Oilers and the Dolphins. You know, I still want to do something, and management didn't want me to do it anymore. And that's the way it is. And listen, it's their right. So this is the way business works. And we move on. So my moving on is I do have a contract to the end of the year, and I didn't want to just sit around and do nothing. So I approached ESPN and said, can I go back? I'll go back and do college games. I did college games starting in 1995 for ESPN. I did it for 10 years until Mike, my oldest, went to high school. And I said I wanted to see all my kids and their high school activities, high school and college. So I stopped doing college games at that point and always wanted to do them again. I always loved doing college games. So I asked ESPN for this season if I could, and maybe beyond, we'll see, continue to call college games, and that's what I'm going to do. If there are college games, I'm going to call college games. I'll do hits on SportsCenter, College Football Live, you know, still talk NFL on SportsCenter as well. Maybe appear on your radio show, Mike, with you and Chinay, if you guys will, you know.
No, you're more of a Spain and Fitz guy.
I'll do that as well. So I love doing that. I did it a few times in the last few years with you, Mike. I know, Mike, you'll be calling college games as well. So who knows, maybe we could do some together again. We'll see.
But hopefully.
But I guess all that is around the hope of college football. But that is what I'm going to do for the rest of this year and hopefully beyond for a couple more years. We'll see about that. But at least for this year, that is the plan, to call college football games again if there are college football games.
Do you get to, like, because you're Mike Golic, I mean, do you get to have, like, a special rider, like only black jelly beans, or is there, like, a specific thing that you get to put
who
in?
Who would pick only black jelly
beans? You know who would?
I know. Papa. My mom's dad.
Yes, who passed away a few years ago. He's a black jelly bean guy, and you are as well.
Yeah, black jelly beans are a delight.
You know what's in my rider? Just give me a game to call, and I'll call the game. That's pretty much it.
Like I say, that's in all of our list for things we'd like to see, but as we go through more and more of this, and we know where everyone's looking in college football when it comes to when they'll take this maybe as seriously as they should, the outside world. I think all of us in it look at this and already see how dire it is, but when you hear from the SEC, that really is the big domino for most.
And that's what happened this weekend. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey was on Marty and McGee on Saturday morning in a great interview. You should go check the whole thing out on the podcast. It was a spectacular deep dive with Greg Sankey, but they asked him specifically, where is your concern for college football this fall? This is what he said.
High to very high. I look at the numbers every day, and the important issue is not just numbers or looking at numbers. It is trying to understand and comprehend, and that's where literally you want experts, you know, moving you away from the scroll or the titles at the bottom of a TV screen or the interviews of this expert or that, and find people out of the public domain who are highly intelligent, highly educated, highly skilled at helping guide information. And we put a medical advisory group together in early April with the question of what do we have to do to get back to activity? And they've been a big part of the conversation. But the direct reality is not good. And the notion that we've politicized medical guidance of distancing and breathing masks and hand sanitization, you know, ventilation and being outside, being careful where you are in buildings. I mean, there's some very clear advice about you can't mitigate and eliminate every risk, but how do you minimize the risk? And we are running out of time to correct and get things right.
When he says they're running out of time, by the way, most expectations are they've got to start making decisions by the end of July. So we're into the last few weeks.
You know, when this all started in March, that seems like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's just a couple of months and time flies. Think about March from the sports aspect. Rudy Gobert tests positive, and I mean sports shut down, right? The NBA shut down and everything shut down. And we said, we're not doing anything now with this positive test. And then you see a few more positive tests, obviously. Now we're talking about how do we restart sports amidst dozens to hundreds of positive tests in sports. And I know we've learned more along the way, but just that headline of one test, shut her down, everything down from a sports aspect I'm talking to now. We hear this, you know, 10 people tested positive. How many tested of all different teams in all sports that are trying to get going again? And we're trying to find a way to still get our sports up and going again. And I think, we all know about the safety and all this. We've heard it time and time again, though that seems to be changing as well. But what he said at the end is the most important thing, right? We're running out of time. Because remember, right now was supposed to be starting the quote-unquote OTA-type version of college football, something you never get right now. College football players are usually not with their coaches at all until the beginning of August, but they're getting this special six-week time, which starts right in the area of now, or was supposed to, at places where they could be with their coaches leading up to that preseason camp in August, which everything is kind of under review now. So I think that was the most important thing he said, is that long runway we talked about, man, that plane is fast approaching and the runway is almost out.
And that's a huge part of why those decisions need to be made, because you've got coaches and players that are still on campus in these environments practicing and training with a season in mind right now. And if you're going to make a decision about what happens this fall, you owe it to a lot of people, but it all centers around certainly the health and safety of that group, but also the way they're using their time right now and making sure you're not then putting a group at unnecessary risk for a season that may not happen in this fall.
Golic & Wingo brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season at Sport Clips. Haircuts, all stylists are clean, certified, and guy smart. Get yourself back in the game with our legendary MVP experience. Check in online today. Golic & Wingo, ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz in for Trey with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. And this is where I have to loudly say something I've been saying for the last week. If you are a theorist that thinks all of this is BS, if you're somebody that thinks this is all junk, I can't say this loud enough. Your opinion on this doesn't matter. Like, none of our opinions on COVID-19 or mask wearing or how the government's handled it, like, none of that matters at all. Because what we've heard from the head of the SEC, Greg Sankey, is they have their own medical group. And they are talking to their own medical group. And that medical group thinks these things matter. So if for everybody that comes in and says, oh, we're having the conversation the wrong way or whatever the conspiracy theory is, I don't really care. Like, the reality is, as long as the numbers keep going up, what we've heard from conferences are the medical experts they talk to and they trust will not propose that football moves forward. That's the only thing that matters. Like, we're so stuck in this debate of who's right and who's not right. And what do we know? What do we not know? And it's like, the one thing we do know is if numbers are escalating, college football is not going to happen. And if you don't think that's right, nobody really gives a damn, because it's still not going to happen. So there has to come some point where you just stop the madness and say, okay, here's the reality that we have to deal with, no matter what I think of the conspiracy theories. Like, I think we're having the wrong conversation.
I for one am shocked that large bodies of people aren't making decisions based on conspiracy theories, that college football would choose to ground themselves in what doctors are saying. Like, what a novel concept.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the draft. We all think what team should, who a team should take, but it doesn't matter what we think. It's all what the grade is for that particular team. And you're right. The same thing here. We all can give our opinions, but they're going to lean on who they want to lean on. And as I said many, many times, when you want something to happen, sometimes you'll look to lean on a person who will green light it. Just as a player, players can get second and third opinions. You get that team doctor that says one thing and it's not what you want to hear. You know what a player does? They'll go out and get that second opinion or that third opinion to sometimes get a doctor to lean the way they want them to lean.
But so, we know that's not happening here. That's the thing, is they're relying on this from the safest possible way. By and large, all decisions are made by medical people who, again, across the board, like, you're not finding medical people saying this is a hoax or that this isn't going on or that you shouldn't be wearing masks.
But you could find medical people that will give different views on you.
But I don't think anyone's trying to do that. The conversation we're having here is fans that don't want to wear masks complaining loudly that these kids that are less at risk of dying of this disease should be out there playing for their entertainment.
Yes.
Which, say that aloud to yourself and then wonder how you sleep.
I 1,000% agree.
And not even just not wearing masks. The number of fans that are talking about the testing rate versus the death rate, and the fact that college athletes so far haven't actually been impacted by the virus. Like, they're still out there. They're asymptomatic. Like, what I'm finding is that a lot of college football fans want to find a reason to justify why the virus is no big deal. And all I'm saying is that it really, like, nobody cares if Joe Fan thinks it's no big deal. The SEC is telling you that doctors think it's a big deal. And yet, it doesn't matter. Like, don't yell at me. Go yell at the doctors that are making those decisions, because they'll tell you how wrong you are.
They only want this to happen because they don't actually care about the people involved. Like, period, end of sentence with that one. You can't convince me otherwise. The only reason at this point that you'd be pushing for that, if those people are telling you no, is because you don't know or care about the people affected, that you're willing to roll with the percentages with other people's lives you don't care about to preserve your own comfort. I'm not talking about the businesses around college football that are going to hurt because of this. I feel genuinely for them in this instance.
Oh, without question.
I feel genuinely. Hell, we all know collectively in this room a lot of people whose jobs are at stake come this fall around college football. We all collectively know in this room a lot of people who work with college football in the actual industry, the business of it itself, that are going to be adversely affected if something doesn't happen in all of this. People's lives at stake, players that we know, guys that we've gotten to meet along the way in all this, who are very really affected by that, much more than I would say the average fan. And that's not to hold anyone's head. That's just the reality. But looking at that any other way, to me, is just trying to preserve someone's own comfort in making sure that this goes forward outside of the people directly affected.
It's your own comfort.
And that's selfishness.
It's your own comfort. It's somebody else's discomfort, or a possibility of somebody else's discomfort, or, unfortunately, in this situation, much worse.
Yeah, we'll keep breaking it down, of course. Go Look at Wingo, ESPN Radio. But coming up, a new era in the nation's capital will start today. So what's next? We'll get to that with an expert after this.
The Washington Redskins will officially change their nickname, as reported first by Sports Business Daily. The news comes 7 years after their owner Daniel Snyder told USA Today that he would never change the name. The team's new nickname is expected to be announced at a later date. NBA Lakers guard Rajon Rondo suffered a broken thumb at the team practice last night in Orlando. They started practicing Saturday, so the second practice yesterday, Sunday, and he broke his thumb. The 34-year-old's going to undergo surgery to repair the fracture. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and because he was in the bubble, got hurt right now, they cannot replace him on the roster. NASCAR, Cole Custer outlasted Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. in the final lap of the Quaker State 400 at the Kentucky Speedway yesterday to earn the first NASCAR Cup Series victory of his career. He became the first rookie regular to win the Cup Series in nearly 4 years. And at 22 years old, is the youngest driver to win a Cup Series race at a mile-and-a-half track, surpassing the previous mark set by Jeff Gordon in 1994. 2011, on this date, July 13th, Abby Wambach's header in the 79th minute breaks a tie against France, and the United States earns its first trip to the Women's World Cup final since winning it in 1999. The U.S. will go on to face Japan in the final, ultimately losing in a penalty shootout after a 2-2 draw.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes that movement drives us forward. They also believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes that's all it takes, a moment to pause before we all start moving again. So as you get ready for the road ahead, Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more. Goodyear, more driven.
The announcements coming today, as the team in Washington will not be telling us their new nickname, but they are confirming that they will be changing their name. So what's next? Go Look and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz in for Trey, sitting with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr., represented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Speaking of which, let's hop over there where we are joined by ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Schefter, thanks so much for joining us. What's the latest on the Washington football team name announcement?
Well, good morning, Jason and Mike. And before I get to that, let me just say this, Mike. I want to salute you on your run here at ESPN Radio. 20-plus years, incredible. You're a radio legend. And just wanted to wish you the very best. Did you say this morning college football work, a college football analyst? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to go back to doing what I first did at ESPN for 10 years and go back and call college football games. Hopefully there will be college football games to call.
Hopefully there will be college football games to call. But anyway, congratulations on an incredible radio career. You're a radio legend. I just want to get to that before we get to the Washington nickname
story. I appreciate
that, Adam,
very much. Thank you. Yes. You obviously helped me along the way when I get smarter people than me to join the show like you. That certainly helps.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Ewing Greeny, when I first came in there, I did a appearance. It had to be my first week at ESPN back in August of 2009. And you guys were like, oh, we need to give Schefter a nickname. And you said, how about Schefter? I think Green might have said, I said, okay, not thinking anything. And the next thing I know, I'm walking through the halls of ESPN. I get all these people I don't even know calling me Schefter. So it stuck ever since then. So I want to thank you for that and wish you the very best with that great college football gig. And again, just a tremendous career. And I tip my cap to you. As for Washington, yeah, they're going to announce today that the Redskins are, I don't think there's any surprise, right? Like when they say July 3rd, we're undergoing a thorough name review. When you do that in these times, that basically is an announcement that you're making the change then. Do we really need for them to say that? And last week, we said that Redskins, there would be no Native American imagery in their name and new nickname going forward. So, I mean, what did people think was happening? This to me is obvious. Now, again, I think the news is that they're announcing it today. But to me, they unofficially announced it July 3rd, and everything that's been said since then tells you that there's no chance they were going back to that name.
And Schefter, is there anything to why they would announce today without having the new name ready and the rollout and all this? We just talked to John Kime, who said he thinks that it's not far off in the distance. There's obviously some trademark things that would need to go through there.
Yeah.
But do you think there's any significance to just announcing that it's not going to be the name that we all already figured it wouldn't be anymore?
Well, that's a good question. And I think there are some trademark issues. And that would tell me also, of course, I'm sure they have their decision. I'm sure they know what the name is. And I don't know when we, the public, will learn what the new name is. And I don't know why they're announcing it today officially. To me, they could have announced that, like I said, earlier this month. It's a great question. I don't know the answer to it, Mike.
But you're right. I mean, what you said earlier when you came on is right. We all knew this was coming. It's just interesting, the announcement actually coming today as Adam Schefter joins us. So let's switch gears. We were just talking about college football and the fact that the decision on the games and the schedules right now is conference by conference. Well, we know in the NFL it doesn't work that way because of the union. And the union and the league are going to talk today and try and set some parameters for preseason games and testing. What are your expectations out of that call?
My sense, and I emphasize sense, is that they're going to have a hard time having everybody come to camp on July 28th. Like, I've spoken to some players and coaches, and ordinarily there's a lot more conversation, a lot more gearing up about the start of camp, notices from teams, directions, instructions, hey, we're going to be showing up here. And there hasn't been that. And there are these discussions that are going on, and there are still a lot of financial issues that need to be addressed that have not been so far. And I think there's a lot of work there to be done to think realistically and practically that they're going to be able to solve this by, I don't know, in the next week or so. I don't see it happening. I think that they've got too much work to get done and through, and there are too many uncertainties and too many major issues to think that everything's just going to go off without a hitch, you know, on July 28th later. I think that's hard to imagine. Now, you hope that the two sides can narrow their differences, make progress, get done what they need to get done here so that it's not an issue. But there is a lot of work to be done, a lot of work to be done in terms of how they handle.
Why is it just now being done? I mean, they've had all this time to get ready. Why is it now that it's being handled?
Well, again, I guess what I would say to that would be, why is it that franchise players who have until July 15th wait until July 15th to sign a deal? Why is it that the NFL and the NFLPA wait until the last moment to get a new CBA done? Yeah. Why do these things happen like that? Because they just don't move until they have to. And they're now at the point where they have to. Wait, why didn't baseball get done sooner? Well,
right.
You know, why didn't basketball? You don't start acting with a sense of urgency until you need to start acting with a sense of urgency. And I think they're at the point now where here we are on July 12th. Camp is scheduled to open on July 28th. And we'll see whether they can get that done. That, to me, is going to be awfully ambitious. Love to see it happen. I'm skeptical it will.
Talking to Adam Schefter with us, our ESPN NFL insider, and certainly skepticism for a lot of leagues about how clean the restart will be. But you mentioned some dates that drive deadlines. We are 2 days away from that July 15th deadline for players on the franchise tag to sign long-term deals going into the season. Are there any players that you think have a shot of getting a long-term deal? There's about 14 players in total. I believe an article just went up on ESPN.com written by some of our NFL Nation reporters talking about a group of 14 players on the franchise tag. Are there any that you feel are likely or close to a long-term deal before that deadline?
Well, what's interesting here, again, there are 15 tagged players, 14 franchise players, one transition player. Kenyon Drake is the only transition player. And they have until, as you mentioned, Wednesday to get long-term deals done, or they cannot sign long-term deals this entire season. And so I don't believe, in talking to a number of people, that we're going to see, in the words of one person, more than one or two deals if we see that. And so you're talking about players like, look, Derrick Henry, Hunter Henry, Justin Simmons, Bud Dupree, Yannick Ngakoue, not getting extensions. The deadline is going to come and go without them getting extensions. The Chiefs and Chris Jones are talking. Going to be tough to do, but they're going to try. To me, the only real deal here that has a chance to get done, and we could debate how much of a chance there actually is Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And that's a fascinating one, which we could spend a whole show on. But short of that, we are going to see a lack of deals this year. And the reason that we're going to see a lack of deals is there's not financial clarity. To get back to the earlier topic, we have no idea how the NFL is going to handle there being a flat or down cap in 2021 due to the lack of attendance and the revenue that's generated there due to the pandemic. So how do you sign one of these franchise players or a transition player to a long-term extension when you don't know the numbers you're dealing with? It's almost impossible to do unless you're Dak Prescott and you're a quarterback and you have to get the deal done, period.
No doubt all eyes will be on Dak for the next 48 hours. Adam Schefter, thanks so much for the time, my friend. We appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks,
stay
Adam.
Safe, brother.
Thanks guys. Congratulations, Mike.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that very much. And real quick, I just want to say I've heard from a lot of my peers as far as the end of my time on radio coming up, and I couldn't, you know, be happier or humbled to hear from them. But also not just my peers, so many listeners out there over the years. I would certainly be remiss, and I have 3 weeks, and I certainly will talk about this more, that I'm so appreciative of some of the notes that have come out there. Many of the notes have been really, really nice with what people have sent. So, no, I do appreciate all that very much, and we'll talk about it a number of times over the last few weeks. But since Adam had brought that up, I definitely wanted to mention how nice it is. It has been, and really humbling it has been.
What is trending?
Tell me about it.
Well, while Washington, the football team, will announce that they are retiring the R-word nickname later today, the Atlanta Braves said in an email to season ticket holders that they won't change their nickname, but will look at the future of the tomahawk chop, the chant that popularly is used in the crowd. The team confirmed the contents of that email to ESPN. Washington and the Indians are among the highest profile teams considering a name change, while the Chicago Blackhawks joined the Braves in saying they'll continue to use the team name because it honors a Native American leader who has been an inspiration to generations. Meanwhile, in the NBA, Lakers point guard Rajon Rondo suffered a broken thumb in practice on Sunday night in Orlando and is expected to return to full basketball activities in 6 to 8 weeks, the team announced. He's going to have surgery to repair the fracture this week. Lakers travel to Orlando on Thursday night for the resumption of the NBA season and practice for the first time on Saturday. LA's already without Avery Bradley, their other starting guard, who opted out of the season restart because of the coronavirus concerns for his family. The Lakers signed J.R. Smith as Bradley's replacement for the remainder of the season. And a reminder, they cannot sign a new player now in light of the Rondo injury. And lastly, Toronto FC's MLS's back tournament game against DC United was originally scheduled for Sunday morning at 9 a.m., has been rescheduled for this morning at 9 a.m. The game was postponed after DC posted a positive coronavirus test, and Toronto had one that was inconclusive. Under the league's health and safety protocols, clubs are tested the day before each match. The results of yesterday's test for DC United and Toronto FC produced an initial unconfirmed positive for COVID-19 case for one player and inconclusive for the other. That rescheduled game will air on ESPN2. That's what's trending. It's brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has nonstop excitement with new movies and summer blockbusters. Don't miss Becky, an action-packed thriller starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo. Sit with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. And you just mentioned in trending there, Mike, the injury to Rondo. I think there's a couple of things you mentioned in trending that are both interesting to me. Rondo and MLS, and I'll combine them all into one. Mm-hmm. Because what we're seeing in the MLS is already, you know, the teams came to the bubble. They already sent Dallas and Nashville home and said, no, right. No, sir. But now we're seeing a great example of a postponed game because of one positive test on one side and then a false positive test on the other, or inconclusive test on the other side. It's a reminder that even when we get everybody into these bubbles in the NBA, you're going to be dealing with constant testing and how they'll deal with postponing a game or moving a game. Like, these are real issues that I don't think fans have necessarily thought of, where the NBA and the MLS guys are all in a bubble. They're all in one place, and we're still dealing with daily tests that are moving games.
Think about in Major League Baseball, we just saw Aroldis Chapman, you know, testing positive. So we're getting the baseball players who are not in a bubble, and how long will they be out? Because that season's supposed to start July 23rd. Again, with that Yankees at Washington, looking for that Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole. I'm holding on to that matchup for the start of the season. But, yeah, you're getting positive test after positive test. And in this case, an injury. First, Avery Bradley choosing to not go for family reasons, completely understandably so. And now Rajon Rondo out. So, you have a guy in Quinn Cook who they've relied on at times when LeBron and other and Caruso and those guys are on the bench and such. You have two guys who haven't even played a second yet in someone you just signed in J.R. Smith and also Deion Waiters, a couple of shooting guards. Deion Waiters was signed right before they shut everything down in the NBA in March, so he still hasn't played. So you do get at least those 8 games, and I would imagine, you know, the beginning of the playoffs to kind of work those guys in and see how they're going to fit into the rotation. And that's something, because I'll say again, the Lakers, 5.5 games up, games of the regular season left. They'd need to only win 3, and that's if the Clippers went 8-0 in those games to lose that top spot. So they'll more than likely go in as the top seed and then play. Right now Memphis is 8, but there are a few teams vying for that spot. Maybe Portland, who is really all set, obviously, at the guard position with, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So what an advantage they would have there. But, you know, depth may be becoming an issue because they, as you mentioned, they can't replace Rajon Rondo on the roster.
It's a good reminder of all the variables that are in play here. And we had heard this from J.C. Treader when he came on with us. Their fear of the NFL players was the rash and uptick of injuries coming off the 2011 lockout and how that might be, again, the instance here. You see that already from the NBA. Like, this is a random one. This is a reminder that coming back, timing is off for everybody. Yep. They haven't practiced together in a while. So even getting back into that rhythm could result in things like this that now they've got to, again, adjust for.